first of all, like, thank you.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm in your home.
Absolutely.
You know, you opened your doors up literally for me. And it's just, I'm very, you know, appreciative of that and very grateful for your time and energy and doing this. So one of the things I wanted to do is, like, people always ask me, you know, that time, like, you know, how did it start? And I know I have my version of, like, when we first met.
Right.
And I know sometimes, like, you have your own version, but then, you know, there's different perspectives. So what I would love to just hear in the beginning is, like, your first remembrance of the experience of making the decision to come to me.
Yep.
And kind of how that, because I actually don't even remember how that came about.
Yep.
Like, who,
yep.
Maybe it was Irv, I don't know.
Yep.
So just kind of take us back.
Yep.
To, and what year was this?
Man, this was 2012.
I'm pretty sure
this
was
2012.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, okay. So setting the scene, for me, this was like my sixth or seventh year in the league.
Okay.
I had gone through my knee injury, in and out the NBA. I was on a 3-year deal, and I was on my last year of my deal. And, you know, at the time, you know, I'm just kind of treading water, staying in the NBA. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm just like figuring it out. And I was spending the summers in Miami. And so Irv Roland.
Yep. Shout out Irv.
Or shout out Big Irv. Man, he called me, was like, you know, bro, what you doing? Like, where you working out at? What's going on? And he's like, I told him, I'm like, well, I'm working out in LA. You know, I'm kind of out there. I got a guy out there. So at the time I was spending the summers out there. They had good runs at UCLA,
yep.
you know, so that's where guys would play. And it's LA. But this time I decided to stay in Miami. And he's like, man, I got a guy. He's like, you work out with me on the court, but I got a guy, you know, if you're looking for somebody, you know, that you can come train with. So
yep.
I had no idea what Legacy was. I had no idea what I was walking into.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? It was just like, all right, cool, let's do it. So I remember, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna switch it up. You know, I need to switch it up. So I walk in, this is 2012, I go in the gym, and then all of a sudden, I just hear somebody just screaming, like at the top of their lungs, you know? And it's like, man, who is this dude? Like yelling at these athletes. And there was some football guys in there,
yeah.
you know? And I mean, and I'm like, damn, he cussing them out, he going in on them like that. Like, damn, these dudes. And they was taking it. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm like, I gotta get ready. I gotta get my mind right.
Right.
You know, I'm a buck 60, 70. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I gotta get my mind right. Like, this ain't just, you know, no regular degular. So, you know, man, I remember the first workout, I'm like, oh, like this is real. This felt like, for me, high school again, how we did strength and conditioning. Like, when I came from high school and I went into the NBA, you know, I was like, I was kind of shocked. Like, man, this is all we're doing for training camp? Like, okay. And then, you know, getting the no days off experience, getting the Legacy Fit experience when I went in for my first week, I'm like, God damn, I'm tired as hell. Like, yo, this is real. It was 115 degrees in there. You walk in, you sweating right away.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, no AC, you know, like, it's nice where you at now. Like,
right,
it was
upgraded.
Yeah, yeah. So I just remember at the time, I'm like, all right, I signed up for this. Like, I can't quit. This is some of the hardest work that I've done since in my time in the league with anybody. And I knew, like, I was on the cusp of being out the league, you know, if I didn't start putting points on
the
board.
Is this before Brooklyn?
So this is before Brooklyn.
Right, all right.
So this is before Brooklyn.
Okay.
So that was my first experience of no days off, you know, and being at the gym.
What do you think made you, like, because there's a lot of trust involved in these things. You know, you're coming off, how many years had it been?
It had been about 5 years, okay. 5-6 years.
So, you know, and to your point, you're you're just trying to survive at this point. Yep. You're not really thinking anything other than that. So what do you think it was where you're like, you know what, I'm going to trust this guy. I'm going to trust this place. I'm going to trust Irv's recommendation. I'm just going to go with this. Right. Was there anything particular, or was it like just the hard work in general?
I wish I had more of a like colorful story for you, but I mean, literally it was just the work, and it was, it reminded me, like I mentioned, of just, you know, when I was at a pivotal point in my life at 16 years old, I was ready to quit basketball. And I went to a different high school, and it was the high school I was supposed to go to. And again, the amount of work that we did for strength and conditioning, like, you know, like I'm puking, throwing up, you know, it's hell week, right?
Right.
Like, and that's how I felt. It felt like hell week, like how my dad used to tell me, like back in the day, like how they used to work. And I'm like, I can't run from this.
Right.
You know, like I can't run from this. Like I gotta, you know, like I gotta prove to myself that I can do this shit. Like I can really, you know, grind this out. Cause I mean, again, at the time you walking in, you seeing all these football dudes. I don't know how they work. You know, I'm looking, watching them work. I'm like, man, these dudes swole. You know, like, you know, I'm like, man, I'm walking in looking like the weakest person in this gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, get this kid a burger. And that was always my DNA. But again, at the time, it was like, along with my injury of, you know, trying to prove myself in the NBA, this was another, you got to prove yourself in here.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was like, definitely. You didn't know me. You didn't know who I was or what my story, anything. It was just like, man, who is this little kid? Like, all right, come on. You want to say you want to work? Let's go. Get your ass on the line.
Yeah.
And that brought the best out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that pulled it, it pulled it from me, and it made me push past my comfort zones. And that's where I was like, no, I can't run from this. I gotta stay here.
So I remember like asking you and talking to you about your knee, and I remember you just kind of like saying that no one's really ever pushed you since the injury. And then I remember asking you, saying like, are you 100% okay? Are you 100% cleared? I think we even called your doctor or whoever, your rehab person or whatever. And so for me, the light bulb went off. As soon as your doctor said you're 100%, as soon as you said you're 100%, I was like, all right, this guy just needs to be driven into the ground and make sure he understands that he can do this.
Right.
And then also,
I remember
just, you know, you were this big around, like no offense, but you were tiny, you know, like, and I was like, if we can get this guy strong, physically strong, not even necessarily bigger, but just stronger, then your game speaks for itself. It always has. I mean, your talent is unprecedented. I mean, so, people still talk about your game. Like, it's one, you're one of one. Like, your game is so unique, and you were such a complimentary and leader on every single team, you know, you played for, especially when you went to Brooklyn.
Right.
Those are the days that I remember where you Sean came back.
Right.
It was like, guess who's back, guys?
Right.
Like,
and it was leading up to that, but when I got to you in 2012, that was the foundation that was laid. Because before I even got to Brooklyn, I remember that was the summer, it was 2013. I was going off to Houston.
Okay.
So I got traded to Houston. And you know, I remember I was in the best shape of my life. I had a great training camp. I still remember that training camp, and they cut me. And I remember coming back to you, and you were like, bro, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we did like, all that work, and then shit.
It was like, what happened? Yep. Like, you know, and I'm like, man. And at the time, it was a business move, right?
Yeah.
It was a business move, and, you know, and so I just remember being, you know, I was defeated at the time, but I knew the work I put in. I knew the work we had did. And I got with you again, like for maybe like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it wasn't very long.
It wasn't long.
Yep.
And then I got a call. Went off to where was I? DC. DC didn't work out. Then I went to Cleveland. Finished the year in Cleveland. In the 27 years old, in the best shape of my life. And I had a great year. And I remember thinking to myself, the work that I put in was the reason that I had a good year that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I got a call from Jason Kidd, and he was with Brooklyn. He had just retired, and he was just like, you want to play for Brooklyn? And they had just traded for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and then they had Joe Johnson, right? Joe Johnson. and Darren Williams. And he was a first year coach. And I just remember, again, I had a great summer the next year. Came back 2013, going into 14, put in more work. But it was these layers of foundation that was being laid to when I finally got to Brooklyn. It was like, all right, like it was like a coming out party, right? Yeah. But it was like, I'm like, man, really? I was in the best shape of my life the year before this, you know? It was just opportunity had finally met the preparation that was being put in.
Yep. And maybe talk about that a little bit, how, because I've been on that for a while now. It's just like, I feel like people don't seize opportunity.
Right.
And you just said opportunity met your preparation. So like when the opportunity presented itself because of the hard work and preparation, you were ready.
Right.
And then you made the most out of the opportunity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So again, like what are the things that led up to walking into that situation? And give us a little insight on the mental side of it. Not necessarily because, okay, your body was right. You were in the best shape of your life. But there was also something that happened from a mental standpoint. Like, to me, there was a confidence.
Yep.
You were way more confident than you were previous.
Yep.
Do you think that was also just a part of that hard work?
It was all in there. And the mental part is the work, right? It's like just showing back up the next day, like knowing you just got your ass kicked, you know, like I got to go through this again, you know? And so for me, the mental part that was being laid in that foundation was like, once I got on the court, it was like, oh, this easy.
Yeah,
basketball. You know, it was like basketball, like what we just did at the gym, like, you know, nobody want to go there, right? And so for me, it was like doing that day in, day out. And then once you had the talk about, are you healthy? Is your knees okay? You're structurally okay. You're not gonna get hurt, right? It was getting over that hump and that hurdle of knowing like, I'm gonna be good. I'm just tired. I just can't breathe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my heart has nothing to do with injury.
Yeah, it don't have anything to do with my knee, right? But I mean, mentally, that's the first place that you take things. It's like, oh, you know, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, my hamstring. Oh, my, you know. Like,
I remember you trying me on those.
Yeah, I definitely had
you
them days.
You show up and be like,
my right hamstring sore.
Hey, I'm like, well, it's supposed to be sore.
I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't the only one. I just kept coming back.
Exactly.
You know, but it was just that, again, the consistency and pushing through the pain of, you know, of that work that you were putting in. And again, it was the whole environment, like being in Miami. I don't know if people realize in the middle of the summer, you know what I'm saying? Like,
they don't know hot.
You don't know how
unless you've been in Miami in July, like, in a no AC warehouse.
You know,
it was like, literally 105.
literally,
I'm not exaggerating. You walk 105 degrees in there.
You walk in, it's like, go warm up. I am warm. You know, like, bro,
I'm warm.
I'm ready right now. Like, and so just working through that, you know, pushing those sleds, you know, doing the battle ropes, you know what I'm saying? Like doing all of the work. Once I got to the court, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I could run all day. It's like, okay, you might be bigger and stronger than me, jump higher, whatever, but like, I'm not getting tired. I'm still going. I'm still coming in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And that is what gave me confidence to, okay, like I'm, you know, I belong here in the league.
Right.
You know, not like I'm trying to make a spot. Like, no. I belong here.
Yep.
And that's, I think that was the correlation between both, you know, the work and playing. So.
And then when you went to Golden State, what year was that?
Yep, 2014. Right. So right after Brooklyn.
Yep. And then I felt like that was like, it was like a match made in heaven. It was like your game with everybody else's game. You were like the missing piece, you know? Did you feel at home when you got to Golden State? Was that somewhere like you felt like, oh, I can do something here?
No question. Like, no question. Just from a standpoint, again, it was like I knew I belonged in the league. Brooklyn was my shot to give me a chance to like showcase myself and also to win. I had been on losing teams pretty much from the time I got injured all the way to Brooklyn, because that's what I had to do to make it back in.
Right.
So now when I was finally back in the playoffs with Brooklyn, got a chance to kind of, you know, play with these great players, Hall of Fame players, you know, so we had eyeballs. So it was like, all right, now I'm back on the stage. Golden State was the next level to that. And Brooklyn prepared me for that because I already knew I belonged, but now I'm under the bright lights.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's different performing under those lights, you know? And so when we got to Golden State now and we had an opportunity to, you know, win a championship, which none of us thought that we were going to win our first year. That was Steve Kerr, first year coaching. He had just been a broadcaster for TNT.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just fired Mark Jackson, who, you know, was a great coach in his own right.
Yep.
You know, Steph and Clay, Splash Brothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, they're just starting to take off, but they weren't, you know, in that legendary seat that they were. So the stars were just aligning. Bob Myers, the GM at the time, brought me in. He knew me from LA with my time with the Clippers, so he knew what kind of game that I had, what kind of person I was.
Yeah.
So, like, I did feel like I could contribute to a winning team, and I was a missing piece. And so it just was like everything just came together, and it was just like a rocket ship. Like,
yeah.
We just took off. And
it was 3 out of 4 years y'all won?
Three out of five. Yeah. Yep.
And then you won one as a coach too, though, right?
Yep. As an executive.
As an executive.
But it was just like, man, being around, you know, and you know this, and I want to ask you this too, like,
yep.
you know, like, what makes a good team for you, right? Like, because in business, I feel like business and sports, right, it's synonymous in that way where
yep.
you have to have a good team around you. Trust, respect, right?
Yep.
You know, that chemistry, you know?
We like, call it, so for my organization, we call it teamily.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a family and a team because you don't want to be too much of a family. Because then you're not about your business.
Right.
And you don't want to be too much of a team because then it's almost like you're trying to win business. And you can't win in business. You can't really win in life. You can win like a project. You can win like a certain, you can check certain milestones,
mm-hmm.
but the game of life and the game of business is
infinite.
So there is no clock. There's no like championship.
Yeah.
Like, you got to run it back the next
day. Yeah.
And so that's where it's a little bit different. So that's why we call it a team league.
Right.
And
I like that.
But for me, there is a lot, though, of correlation between business and team from a standpoint of you can go further together. So for me, and it was something I had to learn, like, because in the beginning, when you found something, when you put your heart and blood, sweat and tears into something, You think you have to do everything.
Right.
And you think
right.
you have to control everything.
Right.
But the more you realize you can go further, if you pour into other people, you build out systems, you show people, and you get people to buy into your philosophy.
Right.
To your values.
No, that's great.
To your integrity. And I think that's what Golden State did,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
100%. It's like, if y'all are all believing the same thing, you all have the same values, you all have the same work ethic, if everyone is rowing the boat the same way and giving the same effort, then
no question.
You're going to the top.
No question.
But if you have someone that is, I call it like if you have a tree and you have a bad branch,
mm-hmm.
it's going to destroy the entire
tree.
But if you cut that branch off and allow a new branch to grow, then, you know, it's going to go further. So you got to get rid of the dead weight.
You had to cut a few branches.
You had to cut it. Yeah, you have to cut it. Yeah. And that's the same
that's
way with teams,
it.
Right?
That's part of it.
Like, if you're not holding your weight,
absolutely.
You're going to sit on the bench or they're going to get you off. So
absolutely. How long did it take for you to learn that for you personally, per se?
So I opened up Legacy in November 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say right around the time I met you, right around 2012, is where I started to somewhat understand that I couldn't do everything by myself.
Yep.
Still was a control freak and still trying to do it, but there was a lot of light bulbs that were going off in my head. And then I was reading a lot. I wish I would have gotten into reading earlier.
Me too, absolutely.
But I got really into reading around 2011, 2012.
Yep.
And so leadership books, business books, all these things that were speaking to me. And then I was, one of the things that I feel like I'm gifted at is like application. Because I believe knowledge without application is worthless, right? If you know a bunch of stuff, but you're not applying it to your life or applying it to your business or executing it, then who cares, right?
Right.
So, and I know a lot of people like that, a lot of super, super smart people, they just don't know how to apply it. So for me, I was able to read a book and apply it immediately.
Right.
Like immediately.
Right.
And apply it to my life, apply it to my business, apply it to my relationships. And you know, the more books you read, the more knowledge, the more application.
Right.
All of a sudden that starts compounding.
Compounding.
You're building what you're supposed to build.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's good stuff. I want to touch on that because I feel like as well, like on the basketball side, it's just like having the talent, right? But not having the work. And that was always for me as a player, like, because I was so gifted and talented as at an early age, it was like, you know, am I going to get the most out of myself? Mm. And that's where I felt like for me, you know, that coming into the work that your gym was pushing me at, it was able to kind of push me to say, okay, like, I'm really, like, I deserve this. I deserve everything that's coming to me right now because I worked for it and I'm applying myself, right? Like, I'm going to put the work in and I'm actually applying myself. As opposed to just relying on my talent, because man, you see so many guys come in the league, in the NBA per se, that are just so talented, God-given abilities, right? And you're talking about super smart people on your side, right? That know all this information, maybe read all the books, but don't apply.
Right.
They don't apply. And so on our side, it's more of like, man, this dude is so talented. If he would just work, if he would just hit the weight room, if he would just, you know,
eat right.
Right? It's like,
listen to his coaches.
Man, like, just have the right attitude.
Right.
Like, it would just, you know, go to the moon. And so for me, that was something that I was scared of. That was a fear of mine, that it was like, I'm going to go through all this. And I know I had the injury. I could have just relied on that and said, oh, well, I had a knee injury. But it was like knowing in the back of my mind, I could have done more. It was like I could have possibly worked harder or, you know, hit all of the reps. And so that's what propelled me to like, okay, you know, I deserve everything that's coming to me. And when I got to Golden State, it was like, all right, you know, like I deserve to be up here on the stage. And that there was confidence that came from that. You know what I'm saying?
What, just touching on Golden State, like what type of leader were you at Golden State?
Yeah.
Because you were a different, you led.
Yeah.
Introvert. But I feel like you did it in a different way.
Yeah. I'm an introvert by nature.
Okay.
Quiet dude, you know, in general. So I was kind of leading from the back, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not a rah-rah guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, like, I know that.
I'm not one of them guys, you know? So leadership to me is about authenticity, period. You know, like you got to be like authentic to who you are.
Yep.
Otherwise, we see through the fake.
People are going to read
we
right
know,
to it.
Yeah,
if you're trying to be a rah-rah guy and you're not a rah-rah guy,
like,
people are like, dude, shut up. Like, we don't even believe you.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you create more problems for yourself. Like, because you off brand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so
give me an example, though, because there's a lot of introvert people out there that think they can't lead. And I disagree with that 100%. I think there's different ways to lead.
Right.
And so I would love to hear your perspective on that and like maybe even give us an example of like how you led in that way.
Right. Time and place. I mean, most introverts to me, I think, you know, they're observant, you know, so they're watching, they're able to kind of download information and, you know, and take a temperature, read the room.
Okay.
You know, I had a good feel for people, you know, like what, you know, saying the maybe the right thing at the wrong time could be dangerous.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, I think for me, it was like choosing when to speak up, you know. So, for instance, I play with, you know, Hall of Fame guys still playing right now. Steph Curry, Draymond Green.
Yep.
Right. Klay Thompson. All three of those guys. Draymond was our vocal leader. He's still
the vocal leader.
That's who he is authentically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Very extroverted in that way. So day to day, you would hear his voice over and over, you know? I mean, because that's who he is.
Right.
He's not going to walk in the room. He's going to take the air, you know?
Yeah.
that's just who he is. Steph Curry, more introverted, a little bit more, you know, leading from the back, if you will.
Okay. Right?
More quiet, but it resonates because, you know, when he speaks, people listen, right? And obviously, best player, you know, usually on the team, the best players are the leaders.
Right.
But not always.
Yeah.
Right? Not always. You have guys who are just naturally born leaders. They have, you know, they have different instincts, whether how they talk to you or how they carry themselves. For me, again, it was about that authenticity piece. Luckily, I was 29 at the time that I had 10 years in the league. I was 29 years old. I was comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't necessarily trying to.
That's pretty wild, dude, what
prove,
you just said.
Prove anything, 10
years.
10 years
in the league, you're only 29.
I know.
That's
came
wild.
Came in a baby.
Yeah.
I came in a baby, you know, out of high school, the baby boomers. So, you know, it was just, again, finding the right time to speak.
Is it one of those things, when you say finding the right time to speak, is it one of those things where you had more like one-on-one conversations than addressing the whole team?
100%. I was that guy that's going to pull you off to the side. I'm not going to put you on blast.
Right.
You know, unless it's a egregious situation to where it needs to be called out.
Yeah.
And that too is a skill because, you know, not everybody wants to be called out. And, you know, but sometimes it needs to be called out.
Right.
For the sake of the team.
Yep.
Right. Because here's, and I don't know if you've experienced this with, you know, in leadership and with your teams, but like good teams, the accountability is through and through from the top all the way to the bottom.
Yep.
The bad teams that I've been on, it's clicks.
Water cooler talk. Yeah. Water cooler.
You know what I'm saying?
You ever read the book, The Advantage?
I haven't.
By Patrick Lencioni. So that's one of our required reading. And it talks about how conflict is good. And, you know that in relationships. You know that, like, you ever meet those couples that, like, they never fight. And then one day they just break up.
Tension.
It's because they've been holding it in for so many years.
Yes.
And then one day they just leave.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not a healthy relationship.
Healthy conflict, though.
You're not gonna agree on everything.
Right.
You're gonna have different emotions and feelings on every single day.
Right.
You know, like every day you don't wake up feeling exactly the same.
Right.
So if you're not, and you're gonna disagree
with
decisions, you're gonna disagree with actions. So are you speaking up? Are you talking about that?
Right.
Or are you like going over to Draymond, man, I can't believe this dude did this and that. And then he goes over to another guy, hey, man, I can't believe this. And then everybody's, like you said, everybody's talking in clicks instead of just hashing it out.
Absolutely.
Like, just put it out on the table.
Absolutely.
And then let's talk through it.
The problem also is not everybody is, there's non-confrontational people and there's confrontational people, right? That's people that are cool with, you know, I'm good with banging it out. Cause I don't want to hold.
Yeah, I love confrontation.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, but my wife hates it. You know, so it's like.
You know, and so, but that helped because I'm non-confrontational. So it was like for me, again, growing. That was a growth. It was like a ladder to step up and say, okay, you know, I don't want to have to. You know, I don't want to have to confront this person, but I need to because I know what's going to happen if I don't.
Yep.
I was just watching a clip on Coach K talking about that with the great Kobe Bryant. And he was talking about, and he said, you know, he was taking terrible shots in the Olympics. And LeBron and D-Wade is looking at him like, all right, coach, you gonna say something? Yeah. And he said, I got it. And he said he had to really sit him down one morning. He was shooting around and he sat him down and he had clips. He had his information, everything. And he's like, look, these are terrible shots. And he said, Kobe looked at him. He said, Kobe just looked at him and was like, is that it?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah.
I can't let you take these shots. And he paused and he was like, all right, coach, you're right. I'm gonna take these shots.
And he was like, I was relieved, you know, because it was Kobe.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
But he knew, again, not confronting him and telling the truth and holding him accountable, right, as the best player.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, and again, so.
It's Kobe.
Again, it's just the concept of like, knowing when to do that, and I was a one-on-one guy, more where I was like, all right, I'm gonna tell you the truth, I'm not gonna put you on blast. Now, if we have to keep going over this, right, then I may have to address it in front of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there wasn't a lot of those situations because we had a good mix in our locker room of personalities, yeah. right? Like Draymond was the kind of that alpha, you know, confrontational guy.
Right.
You know, live on the edge, right? But then we had a bunch of cerebral guys around him and, you know, myself, Andre Iguodala, David West, Zaza Pachulia, guys who were seasoned veterans who could look, come here, bro. Like,
right.
Come here. Like, bro,
was there,
calm down.
Was there a lot of moments, though, that, like, that Draymond kind of had to be checked?
Absolutely. But it was like he knew where we were coming from.
Right, right.
You know, he, but it's trust with that, you mm-hmm. know? He trusted us, right, to hold him accountable in that way. But it wasn't anything to where we, like, you know, little brothered him or, yeah, you yeah, know, like, yeah. we were peers,
right.
you know? We were teammates. It was just, you know, come on, man, let's go. What you doing? Like, come on, nah, forget all that. Like, let's go. Let's get focused.
Right.
And he knew, again, it was coming from an authentic place, not a place where we were trying to mold him or make him something that he wasn't. It was just more of like, look, let's get on the right. Let's get back on track here for the goal. What's the goal? Right. It's to win a championship.
Yep.
And when you have guys that are aligned, like you spoke to, around that common goal, I mean, that team can go so much further than just right. the individual.
Yep. And then when did KD come on board?
Yeah, 17.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously there's some stories there. Like,
man, I mean, I just remember I remember where I was getting the announcement. I was back in Peoria, Illinois, getting a haircut, sitting in my barber chair, see the phone. I was just like, yo, you believe this? Like, I couldn't believe it. And then when he got there, I still couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like watching a unicorn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it literally yeah. was like watching a unicorn. That was the greatest concentrated amount of talent that I've ever been around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being in the gym with, you know, all those guys, all that talent. But then, you know, incorporating, you know, a legendary Hall of Fame player like that within our locker room, which was one of the best locker rooms that I've ever been in.
Right.
Like people, just
yeah.
people in general. It was scary, man. It was scary. I mean, there was games, those guys, you know, they were so good, you know, and it was the games that they wouldn't even play the fourth quarter, you know, like. We'd win the games in three quarters.
Right.
You know, and so the talent level, but then also like the chemistry that we had that first year, especially because we had buy-in from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, and you see the proof was in the pudding. You know, I mean, that team goes down. It's, you know, one of those all-time great
teams.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
You know?
I think it's sad. I think y'all probably could have won a lot.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
What happened? Like,
yeah.
in your eyes?
Yeah.
Like, where did it go wrong?
I think just like in, you know, just with anything, with time and relationships and, you know, siblings, whatever it is, it's like, if you don't water it, if you don't, you know, it can go stale.
Yeah.
You know, I think we had got to a place to where everything was becoming so easy, right? As far as, and I say that respectfully because we were in the NBA, there's talent everywhere.
Right.
But I meant just the way that we showed up to games, the way that we prepared, it wasn't the same because we didn't have the same hunger.
Okay.
Right? Success sometimes can breed complacency.
Yep, yep.
Right? And I noticed that even, you mm-hmm. know? I know you called me one time, where the hell you at, man? Like, yo,
yeah.
won championships now.
Right,
like, yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, so with that, I felt like the team, you know, like there was slippage a little bit. You know, like the seasons are long. I think Phil Jackson even said it, you know, there's the lifespan of certain teams can probably only go, you know, 4 or 5 years, six mm-hmm. years, because guys just start getting tired of each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. I'm tired of seeing y'all every day.
Yeah.
You know?
So when you get players like the Warriors, they got three guys that have been together 14, 15 years, you know, 12, 13, 14 years.
It's unheard of, man. It's unheard of. And I just think you started to see that with us. Like, you had, you know, like we'd have practices sometimes where we wouldn't even go to the gym. Like Steve would be like, yo, let's everybody get on the bus, we're going, or everybody drive to the bowling alley, or we're going to the baseball stadium next door, we're gonna hit fly balls.
For real.
Like, you know, just mental days, to get away from it and do something different, you know, because the repetition of it all, I mean, that's what it takes to be great, but, you know, just the human nature of it, you know, it's like you get tired, you know, you get complacent, you know, you know, it gets easier. And I think the game was so easy because of the amount of talent we got. We lost in 2016 to Cleveland, right? We won 15, lost 16, came back, got KD, won 17. Okay, we got our revenge in a way. But then, okay, 18, we win. We just squeaked by Houston, James Harden, those guys.
Yep.
You know, it was just, you know, 19, some injuries, but it was just getting harder and harder to show up. And there was less buy-in from everybody. You know, it wasn't the honeymoon.
You see
what I'm saying? Now we in the real, you know, real deal marriage. And it's like, okay, you know, I think guys were just kind of, we're getting a little splintered. And I, you know, I was getting older, guys were getting older. And I think, that's kind of what happened.
All right.
Yeah. But man, 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean,
3 out of 5, you know, probably could have won another one, but.
Well, the Cleveland thing was, that shit was, y'all should have won.
I still can't talk about that.
It's just a travesty.
I still got nightmares, but, you know, again, going through that time period, it was just like a moment in time where you just wanted to hit the pause button, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, all the work that I put in, the foundation that I laid, everything that I went through to get to that point, and then the amount of talent, these superpowers in themselves, right?
Yeah.
All in one locker room, you know, and the hate that we were getting from everywhere made it fun, you know.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh, this is every night, you know. We went on the road and it was just like, it was crazy, man. Just people that was stalked outside the hotel room and the hotels. Like, you show up, it's like 100 people outside trying to get to Steph, KD, you know. And I was over it by that time. I was like, man, look, leave me alone. Like, I didn't want none of that life.
Right.
You know, but no, it was a special time for sure.
Is that your all-time best time playing basketball?
No question.
Yeah.
I would say, for me, the best times was Golden State, Brooklyn, just because the amount of characters that were in that locker room alone.
And you balled in Brooklyn.
And I balled. Like, and I balled. And I was in New York.
Yeah.
And I had,
you know, Hall of Fame
guys, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, like Joe Johnson. Still, you know, I say they were the guys that helped prepare me for Golden State because, you know, they showed me what the leadership looked like, what it was, you know, the expectation to win. So Golden State, Brooklyn, and then probably my early days with the Clippers.
Yeah.
For sure. No question.
How was it? What was it like coming out of high school?
Yeah.
Like, that had to been
I remember the crazy. First. Like, I remember the first time I went to Venice Beach. I'm from Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah.
First off, that's 100,000 people, cornfields all around.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's, you know, and so it was – small in its own right.
When did you know you were going to make the decision to come out of high school?
I didn't know.
Did you entertain going to college?
I did.
Okay.
So I committed to go to Duke University.
Okay.
Signed a letter of intent. I was leaving school on Fridays my senior year to go work with Tim Grover. Shout out Tim Grover. You know, man, at the time Michael Jordan just retired. Tim was the man.
Right.
Everybody was going to his gyms. They were playing in Chicago. And so I was going up there to train, didn't hire an agent. I did one workout, 30 NBA GMs. Steve Kerr was there. He tells me, he remembered the time he came up there to watch me. And then I did one workout with them, hour long. And then I remember going to the weight room to get my lift in. And he was like, congratulations, young fella. He was like, you going to the NBA? And I was like, for real? I was like, you know, and then what he was implying was, you know, he felt like I wasn't going to go outside the top 10.
So it was almost like you didn't make the decision. The NBA made the decision for you.
For me.
Yeah.
Because
you thought I was skinny when I first came back. Imagine me at
18. 18, I can't eat.
Pogo stick.
How much did you weigh?
170.
Oh, wow.
And you were 6'7"? I put on 10 pounds. I weighed 175. I put on 10 pounds with Tim.
Okay.
And then that's where teams were like, oh, okay, he's gonna get bigger.
Right.
He's going to get stronger. Like, you know, not knowing my DNA. But I remember that, and I told myself, if I go outside the top 10, I'm going to college. I can go get stronger.
Yeah.
I need to get stronger. It's a grown man's league. You know, this whole time, though, I'm doing pickup, you know, playing against guys. I'm like, I'm holding my own, you know. Not all the way ready physically, but I'm holding my own. But it was the potential. Yeah. It was 8 guys that went out of high school that year. Dwight Howard, J.R. Smith. You know, Sebastian Telfair, man, all those guys.
Wow, Sebastian Telfair, that's
yes,
a name.
Yes, yes, yes. Darrell Wright, man, who else? Robert Swift. It was a bunch of us that went out that year. And I just remember I was set on going to college. After that workout, I hired an agent. And I was like, all right, I'm going in. And then I ended up getting my diploma, so I finished school.
Okay.
But I was, yeah, just working out, training for the league. And then once I got drafted to the Clippers, crazy experience, was like, wow, like, man, I'm really here in the league. And then flew out there, walked down Venice Beach for the first time, was like, where the hell am I at? Like, what is this? You know, yeah. Like, just seeing it was a complete culture shock, because this Midwest dude, big afro,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, it was two different worlds, you know? It was just two different worlds. You know, seeing, man, just, it was just a culture shock.
Was it weird in the locker room when you had like grown ass men?
Yes.
And you were 19?
Yes, 19. That was,
that had to been bizarre too.
Like. That was a shock because, like I said, one, everything I did in high school, we did as a team. We hung out. It was guys, where are we going tonight? You know, man, we get to the locker room. It's grown men, families, kids.
Right.
You know, like, where everybody going? I'm going home with my kids. What you,
yeah.
You know? And then also, you know, the work I was expecting to be, you know, like, if there's one thing in hindsight, looking back, if I would have had a mentality of like, I'm just gonna take this. Like, I'm taking mine. I'm taking what's mine.
Mm.
I came in more like, I'm the pupil. I got a lot to learn.
Right.
So
right.
Let me just shut up and learn. Right. Humble.
Yeah. Right.
You know. But what surprised me was like, man, like, I'm faster than a lot of these people. I'm, you know, like, I'm quicker than, you know, like, I can hold my own. Okay. And so mentally, just having that mindset to where it was like, all right, you know, if I would have been a little bit more aggressive, less passive, you know, I think that would have expedited my time. But, you know,
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and everything happens for a reason.
And your humility also is who, like, you, it's
authentic.
You're your authentic
it's
self.
Authentic.
It's who you are.
Exactly, so. Exactly. But playing with grown men was a shock because it was like, man, you know, you go and try to make the right play, and then somebody over here is trying to get a contract. It's like, yo, why you ain't pass me the ball,
oh,
right?
Wow.
It's like, yo, I'm trying to get my 20 and 10 so I can get paid. I'm trying to win.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'm already in the league. And
yeah.
For me, it's like, I always played to win. Always. That's who I am. If I'm going to play a game, if I'm going to play anything, I want to play to win. I'm competitive in that, right? So I'm going to compete. So as a point guard, having the rock, having a lot of responsibility as a 19-year-old, you deciding who gets the ball.
Yep.
Well, some guys don't get it. Now they mad at you. Damn, why you mad at me? Like, what? I didn't understand that. They
right.
Trying to feed their family. They trying to, you know. And so that was a shock too, because I'm young and everybody was, you know, I'm going to say everybody, but there you got guys that were jockeying to, hey, you know, pass to me. Like, I need to get mine.
Right.
Instead of, let's win this game. Right? Like, I'd rather get 20 and lose, you
That's
know, and
crazy.
Get paid,
yeah.
As opposed to get 10 and win,
right.
And we all try to make the playoffs.
Right.
Because the Clippers was the laughing stock of the of the NBA. Like, Jay Leno jokes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was who the Clippers were when I joined the team. And then Elton Brand, Corey Maggette, Katino Mobley, Sam Cassell, second year. You know, we get Sam and Katino. Mike Dunleavy is the head coach, and we end up going to the playoffs my second year. I'm 20 years old, and that's where I kind of have a little bit of a breakout. We go to the second round. I perform well. And like, man, this kid, he's on the rise, he's a rising star.
Right.
You know, and then the third year, that's when I got injured. So just wild.
And I mean, as far as the injury goes, I mean, I'm one of those people, I just believe that like everything happens for a reason.
No doubt.
If you had to like, I mean, you're talking about like, obviously, I mean, one of the most horrific, you know, injuries that anyone's ever had to go through. But I mean, now you're so removed from it. Is there anything during that time, looking back on it, that you can say like that was, and this is crazy to say, but that was the best thing that could ever happen to me?
Yep, for sure. That injury, I went through it early, first 2 months. Why me? What is this? You know, why am I in this situation? My knee's all busted up. I had surgery. I'm laid up in the bed. I can't do anything. I'm just sitting there. So, you know, mentally, you know, I was that woe is me mentality. Like I said, first month, 2 months. And then when I had to start the rehab, which they started rehab right away. Yeah. So they wheeled me down to rehab. My knee is still bleeding, still pus coming out. And, you know, looking back, though, when I started to climb and started to get better, I'm like, you know what? Like, this is the best thing to happen for me. Still angry, still a little resentful, you know, like I had to let some of that go because there was, as I started to climb, there was always setbacks, getting cut from the teams, yeah. Not good enough, you know, this, that, and the third. You know, they like this younger player over me, you know, he got more potential than I have because of my injury history. Right. All this stuff is biting me in the ass as I'm trying to, you know, like forge my way back into the league and create some. Only goals that I had for myself was I want to play in the NBA again and I want to be on a winning team. I want to be in the playoffs. It took me, 2007 was the injury. It took me 7 years to get to Brooklyn. So that whole time, that 7 years, and it took me 5 years from the injury when I got with you,
yep.
2012. So literally within, you know, that 6 to 7 year window, it was just like, it was the roller coaster of just being in, being out, you know, having good year, having good days, having bad days, you know, with the knee swollen, the knee feels great. You know, I can jump high like I used to, I feel good. I don't. And so, but again, once I finally got the opportunity and I put the work in all the way, that's where I was like, you know, I really understood. It was like, okay, this was preparing me the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, it was preparing
me. And would you
me.
Say like, because when I hear you say 7 years, it reminds me of like, and again, not apples to apples, but just like, I'm in my 15th year of business, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
So is there also something to be said about, yeah, it was 7 years, but now looking back on it, it was like that.
That's right.
So I think the take home message for me, like if I was like gonna say like, what are we getting out of this?
Right.
Is that when you're in it, when you're going through hell, when you're going through struggles, obstacles, setbacks, it's gonna feel like eternity. It's gonna feel like your days are gonna feel longer, whatever.
Right.
But if you can just keep showing up for yourself, you can just keep going. Once you get on the other side of it, you're gonna look back on it and you're gonna be like, oh, that was nothing.
Right.
Like, that flew by.
What was the hardest? So, what was that hardest pain point for you within those, you know, 7 years? You know, like, cause I, you know what it was for me.
Yeah.
Going through the injury, getting up until 2013, 14. But like for you, like what'd that look like?
So I had several struggles. I don't know if you remember, like I also dealt with a lot of injuries
in the back. Yep.
So I broke my back in high school, my junior year in high school. And then I broke it again my junior year in college. And I've probably been in some type of discomfort or pain since I was, you know, 17 years old. So during that time when you have a lot of stress, a lot of responsibility on you, sometimes your body also you know, acts like up on that. And it was one of the, so from, I would say, 2000, actually, like in the heat of when I was training, like 2011 to 2015 was probably one of my worst in horrible pain.
Yeah.
And I would like to say, I mean, I was definitely like, you know, like I took out a lot of my frustration, but
I think that's right when I was with,
yes,
right,
literally
I was coming in.
But I would like to say that I always showed up for, like, yep. I never took a day off. Yep. Like I never complained.
Yep.
It was always like work first, business first, and then I'll deal with myself later. But, so those times were tough, you know, to wake up every day. Like I used to have to wake up like, and I'd put my shoes on like this. Like I'd be like laying on my side trying to get my shoes on because I couldn't do this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like I couldn't bend over.
Right.
And I feel like I had a chip on my shoulder again for y'all, like, cause that's why I was so hard on y'all. Cause I was like, y'all have no idea like what I just did just to get here.
Just to get here.
You know, like
Right.
And so like when y'all was complaining, I was like, man, y'all don't know anything,
right,
you know,
right,
what I'm going through. So.
Right.
So that, I think that's where a lot of my like, you know, oomph came from, or right, my passion came from too. And then I would say from a pure business standpoint was the pandemic and then the year after the pandemic. So the pandemic obviously for everyone was tough,
yeah,
but because of my disciplined approach to running a business, I had like 3 months of reserves.
Yep.
We were actually building out 3 locations in the middle of the pandemic and construction didn't stop. So that actually kind of in a weird way benefited us because they shut us down with 3 locations and we reopened with 6 locations. So it was actually a unique kind of thing. And I, you know, took care of my whole entire staff during that time and just really had a lot of faith. And then the community was so strong, like, and I mean, shout out to No Days Off community. Like everybody was just so like supportive during that time,
right.
So it was great. So even though the pandemic was tough for business, it was the year after that was the hardest for me, because the year after I had a lot of people leave me. We were transitioning. I had made a move to open up the new location. A lot of, you know, like it was a lot of money that I didn't have, like, and I was trying to figure it out and stuff. And then, so 2021 was one of the hardest years of my life. And just I would say the hardest thing about it is like when you, I'm the type of guy that if you're with me, I am there for you. I'm so committed.
Loyal to the soil.
Yeah. Yep. Like over, like yep, some guilty, you know, loyal to a fault.
Right.
You know,
right,
that's who,
right,
I am. Like, right, I love and I love hard.
Right.
And then when I, you know,
it goes the other way.
It goes the other way.
Yeah.
I have a real hard time with that. Like, yep, it's tough.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
So I dealt with that too, because I had a lot of people leave. But yeah, it was the two things. It was me dealing with my own injuries and still showing up for myself and showing up for you guys.
Right.
And then, because I was training 14 to 16 hours a day, you know, 5 a.m. to like 10 p.m. Like I was training nonstop.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
in pain, like half, yeah, you know, whole the time.
What would you change looking back? Like how what would you do differently per se? You know, that experience.
You know, it's interesting. People always ask that question, you know, like even about like us, right? Is
yep,
like if you could talk to your younger self,
yep,
what would you say?
Yeah.
And I always answer that question the same way. I'm like, if you don't go through it,
yep,
then it's not who you become. Your experiences, your lessons are what make you.
To get you here.
You know, like, yep, and so looking back on it, was I a maniac at some times? Did I make wrong decisions? Did I say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing? Yes. But what I did do is I learned from those.
Right.
So when I made a mistake, to me, there's no losses. There's only lessons, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you make a mistake and you're self-aware of that and you're at least making the effort to become a better person, a better businessman, a better husband, a better whatever it is, a better friend,
mm-hmm,
and you're just being honest with yourself to say, yeah, I fucked up, like, but I'm not gonna do the same thing again.
Mm.
And then you try to just be better, like every single day, and you really make a strong effort. So I wouldn't necessarily change anything. Now, certainly, like, it's like, if you go back in time and like there's some business decisions, you know, you could make
that always,
would always make you more money, you know, stuff like that. But as far as like dealing with people and what I've done, like my giving nature, like doing whatever it takes to make other people successful, I will never change.
Yeah.
Like I love giving people an opportunity to be the best they can be. Obviously I benefit from it because they work for me or what have you, but I still love to see other people win. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why I've always been like that. Like there's something special about, and especially when it's a part of your business as well,
right.
Like obviously. Like, so I have multiple locations. When I see these heads of these locations, the managers, the trainers, the coaches, just doing great, doing amazing. They're feeding their families.
No doubt.
They're supporting, you know, they've got kids, they've got wives and their babies, and they're able to like this is what feeds their family. Like there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better
right.
than that.
Like know? The gift that so, keeps on giving.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What, so that mindset though, right? We talk about the mindset. Do you feel like it's, you see that mindset of athletes, right? Do you see that in business? Do you feel like the mindset is important when you're running your business as far as, you know, that no days off brand and, you know, like really pushing through some of those yes. pain points?
One, I mean, there's so much correlation in to me in sports and also business, like we talked about earlier, but the mindset is everything.
Yeah.
Because I always go back to this. What I feel like is one of the number one things that's wrong with businesses, with relationships, with everything, is just so much relying on your emotions and your feelings.
Mm.
And to me, you have to separate. You know, that's why I always say discipline over motivation. Because you're not gonna be motivated every day.
Right.
You're not gonna feel good every day. You're not like, I think sometimes people see guys like us, oh, they're successful. They wake up with like, they wake up and
no
it's
doubt.
Like, today's gonna be great.
No, like, they're human.
Like,
right,
nah,
right.
Like sometimes we wake up, our neck hurts, our back hurts, we don't feel good, we're whatever, but it's acknowledging that that's not what's driving us.
Mm-hmm.
That it's showing up and doing it anyway, regardless of how you feel. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think one of my best gifts is the commitment to the consistent effort every single day, no matter what, no matter what. Like, it doesn't, the outside circumstances is not relevant. Like, if you have a job to do, you have to do that job, period.
Were you always that way?
So,
were you always that way, or did you have mentors or coaches that like fed you?
Well, my
that?
Dad yep. was, my yep. dad probably instilled that the most.
No doubt.
Me. So my dad
no
was like one of those dads that woke me up, you know, the crack of dawn, like no we're doubt. Going running, we're going to work out, you know, like that.
No doubt.
Watching him also be a hard worker mm-hmm. with his business and always, you know, there for the family. And then coaches, you know, I mean, I came, and I would say I got some bad habits from college football, mm-hmm. you know, coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they coached in such a harsh way. And so when I became a business owner, I thought that's how you, that, you know, I was like, you know,
right.
I'm just going to drive everybody right. into the ground, you know, like my coaches did.
No doubt. Man, that's old school.
You can't
yeah,
do
it's
that.
Old school.
You know,
right.
and that's yeah. something that I've definitely adjusted is like, you can't treat everybody the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need to be screamed at and yelled
yeah.
at. Some people need a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Some people need encouragement. Other people need discipline. Like
yeah.
it's you know, you gotta,
yeah.
and you have to learn that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Or otherwise you'll run everybody off.
No
so.
Doubt, no. I
yeah.
benefited from that, by
yeah.
the way.
Well, it's
I needed
funny,
that, you know?
I remember there was a transition for me where, and I know you saw it because
mm-hmm.
you used to get mad at me for not being my old me.
Right.
Like you were
right.
like, where the fuck is
yeah.
Manning, the guy that cusses me out?
Yo, man.
Like,
oh.
But, and I found that to be interesting because it was like, you needed something that I felt I needed to
get
release,
away from. Yeah.
to get away from.
Yeah.
And it, because that anger that I was holding on to because of the pain, because of maybe the chip on my shoulder or whatever,
right.
and because I thought that that's what y'all needed, I was reading and learning and growing as an individual, and that was like starting to break off.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Like I was becoming more peaceful.
Right.
Like
right. That's interesting.
Number one, my back finally.
Yep.
Shout out to
Health.
Dr. Goddard. I did stem cells and stuff, so the pain went away. So with pain going away, it like opens up your world to a whole new light. Like you start to like actually enjoy.
I don't wish the back on anybody.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
That,
back pain is the worst. So, but there was like literally like a lot of the books I read at that time were where it was just changing me. I mean, I don't even know really how to say it.
No,
but it was,
that's good.
It was but I remember like you getting mad at me, like because I wasn't as intense. And that's where I really started to, you were one of the ones that kind of opened my eyes to like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is who I am anymore. And maybe I need to put more energy and effort on pouring into other trainers, doing more business stuff, and being more of a CEO than a coach.
Do you feel like it started to blossom when you were doing that and going through that whole phase?
Yeah.
Right. So that's interesting because it's funny. I was craving that, right?
Yeah.
I was craving that selfishly, like, you know, because that's what brought the best out of me. But what I did notice at the time that it was like, man, where everybody at? Like, ain't nobody coming back? Come on, like, let's go. And like you mentioned, not everybody wants that kind of work or that kind of coaching, that kind of teaching. You know, I experienced that with my father. You know, he pushed me at a young age, which kind of taught me discipline. But me being the introvert, me being kind of the quiet, you know, guy, I can kind of get passive. Where it's like, okay, you get that, like, come on, man, you need that shot in the ass.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like I benefited. But then, you know, coming back summers later, I was like, man, it's nice in here. What, y'all got AC? Like, it was like, yeah, okay. Like, what happened to the dungeon, you know? But it was just funny to kind of see that evolution, you know?
Like, yep.
And I haven't even been to Wynwood, so.
No, no, you haven't like really even seen the new.
Yeah, man.
But, I feel like, and maybe you can touch on this because you're still in the NBA,
right?
You know, still work for the NBA. There was a real struggle not only with like where I was, who I was becoming as a person, but there was a real struggle with who I was dealing with when it came to professional athletes.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the old guard.
Yeah.
The Joe Johnsons, the Sean Livingstons. Yeah. The Jeremy Pargos, you know, Gennaro.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, we could.
James Harden came through there.
But even just like the desire to want to be the best you could be, guys were coming in and I would like do what I normally do and they're quitting.
Yeah.
They're not showing up. They're showing up late.
Yeah.
I'm chasing them for money.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing. It gets exhausting as a coach.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So, where do you feel like it's at now? Because I mean, you're in it. You're meeting all these young kids. Like, is the dog gone? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like where's these? You know what I mean?
Like,
because I was a dog when I played football. You were a dog when you played.
I get it.
And I don't see I see a lot of puppies out there.
I get it.
A lot of puppies.
I get it. But and that's the thing too, where it's like, is it the age? Right? Is it the age gap? Like I try to think back because I don't want to be that old guy. Like I'm back in my day.
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know
right?
what I'm saying? So it's like
every time I catch myself doing, you know, I'm like, oh yeah. God, I'm turning into
you
my
know,
dad.
Like damn. Yeah.
When I was your age, you know? I used to do this.
So I'll just try to think back. Like when you were coming up, did you hear old heads like, you know, like y'all soft?
No.
Like y'all. You know.
Not like, with us. Like you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like they didn't say that to us. Because I felt like we were matching, if anything, we were matching it times 10.
Sure.
You know, like.
So for me personally, going in high school, I felt like our class and our group of guys going through the 90s, you know, and then graduating early 2000s, it felt like we were kind of the last of the dying. When I say last of the dying breed, I'm talking about in Peoria where I'm from, you know. And then also looking at it, just the evolution of the kids nowadays, technology, right?
Yep.
Huge driver, right? It was video games for us when we were just starting to come up, but you know, my kids ain't even going outside anymore.
Right.
Right? Like back when I was growing up, like go outside and don't come back inside or you staying inside.
Exactly.
And you know, and don't shut the door and don't slam the door. Like, you know, be back in before the street lights. Times are evolving. Nothing stays the same.
Yeah.
Times change. I feel like over time, that's what you're starting to see. There are kids, you know, naturally that are competitive, you know, that want to win, that want to work. I don't think it's a majority.
Yeah.
You know, I
and
don't.
And then what about like some of even the talk of, and I forgive me, I forget what y'all call it, but like even like,
load management.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. So
yeah,
like even yeah. shit like that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
What the hell yeah. is that? You know what I mean? Like, well, where did that come from?
So just to clarify, the NBA came in this year and they said, listen, look, we got to get back to playing.
Right.
So now they have a player participation policy
you would have said participation trophy. I would have punched you. All right.
I'm saying, but that is
don't
where,
you think that's
where
the
we're
problem
at, too? Though. The fact that we have to even go to that, right? So now, again, you got guys who laid the foundation, right? Your dad's era, our parents' era,
mm-hmm.
you know, our era, like guys in, you know, Magic and Bird. And, you know, I remember Jerry West telling me guys worked two, three jobs and played in the NBA.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like,
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But again, different times.
Right.
Different era. You know, the contracts weren't the same, right? That has something to do
these
with
these contracts
it.
Are out of control.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, come on, my kids are straight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Cause I average maybe what, 12 points a game, but it's, you know, I want everybody to get paid. I want every athlete to
no,
get
you
paid.
Definitely,
take care
you,
of
you
your
want
family.
It.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm saying the mentality and the mindset from, you know, having to go through hardships and struggles because life has gotten better.
Mm.
I'm looking at it holistically. You know, like as far as like life, you know, 1900, you know, 1800s are different, right? Than
right.
1900s,
yeah.
2000s, it's all different. We're living better. So like, I feel like there's not as much you have to go through. You don't have that same mindset. You don't have those same coaches, like dogging you, driving you into
right.
the ground, talking about you, talking about your family. Like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, even the coaching has changed.
That's like, what I mean. Like,
yeah.
that's a lawsuit now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like there's no Bob Knights out there.
No, you can't do that.
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like, you will get canceled,
yes.
right? And I mean, you
what
know.
Was, what kind of coach is Steve Kerr?
Steve is more laid back, cerebral.
Okay.
Steve is cerebral. Steve is more like, I'd say, Popovich. He played for... Played for Phil Jackson, played for Popovich.
Learned from the best, man.
Learned from some of the best. And he's more of a, we had this slogan at the time. It was more about just the group. He's more about empowerment from the 15th, 14th, 13th guy, 1 to 15, right? He's great with relationships. He's great communicator. So he'll talk to you, you know. Like I remember he, you know, if there's a confrontation and stuff, like he'll write letters, you know, like he'll, whatever it takes to like get through and communicate, he'll know about your family. He'll know about, you know, things you're going through because he cares.
Right.
That's who he is. He's a very thoughtful person. Strength in numbers. That's what it was.
Okay.
Strength in numbers.
Yep. We were just talking about that
strength,
earlier.
Strength in numbers. Can't believe I forgot.
Who was the toughest coach you've ever had? Obviously, besides myself.
yeah, nah, for real, for real. My high school coach was tough, but in the NBA, probably, man, Byron Scott was tough, but he had a lot of respect. We had a lot of respect for each other, my journey. He respected what I came through, what I went through.
Yeah.
You know, he came from Pat Riley. Pat Riley's known synonymously like for being tough.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yep.
The Heat, tough.
Oh
right?
yeah, their culture.
Like, you see what
yeah,
they,
what
the
they, toughest
yeah,
in the NBA. Yeah.
Like so, he's from that branch. You know, Scott Skiles was tough. You know, tough nosed, very confrontational.
Okay.
You know,
where's he now?
Milwaukee. I had him in Milwaukee. He's not coaching, man.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the guys,
style,
you know,
yeah,
again,
exactly.
it's, yep. you know, Larry.
And that's kind of was my point. Yeah.
Larry Brown.
Like the Larry Browns, the Scott style there.
I had Larry Brown. Like these guys, they're, you know, I feel like, you know, it's just, again, it's a time, it's an expiration date, you know. It's a changing of the guard, as you mentioned.
Yep.
So it's not the majority of those guys that you see. And when you see one, you're like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, like he got it. He could go in our era.
Right.
Like, you know, but... I just think it's more of just how life is, you know, things are easier. I mean, my kids, we talk about as parents now, me and my wife, like, man, look at, you know, look what they're
right. Like, look how they're, you know,
look, yeah, look at, they're like, everybody got a pool, like, yeah. What? Like, that was vacation, right, for us. Yeah. Like, we go swimming, what? Like, you soft, you wanna go swimming? Like, it was just different. So I just feel like, you know, nowadays, you know, times are different, and you have to meet players and kids where they're at to try to communicate with them.
Right.
You know.
You know, you got two baby girls.
Yep. Yep.
You're married.
Yep.
You're in Vegas. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, what's next for Sean?
Yeah. So I grew up in the NBA.
Literally grew up in the NBA. Like, as a kid.
You know, so I feel like now working with the Players Association, helping guys on that side. I was backtracked. I retired, went into the front office, always said, man, I played on all these different teams, seen dysfunctional locker rooms, seen mm-hmm. dysfunctional teams, seen great teams. So I was like, I could do this. So I jumped in the front office, got my feet wet, learned, you know, just kind of the business side of it, what kind of goes into it. And then now I'm working with the Players Association. But I think eventually, one day, I'd like to be a general manager, you know, possibly in an ownership group.
Heck yeah.
You know, for the NBA, you know, bring a team to Vegas.
I was about to say.
You know, that's an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's.
And that's a real.
Real.
Like, a real.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yep.
Thing that's probably going to happen, right?
I mean, it's in the works, I believe. Adam Silver said something over Summer League as far as possible expansion.
Yeah.
But you never know, you know. But that would be a North Star for me.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Join the owner's box.
Heck yeah.
So that'd be dope. That'd be dope. And then from there, you know, I wanna open up my own business one day.
Do you know what kind?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm into financial literacy. So, you know, helping athletes,
okay,
with their personal brand.
So like a financial advisor kind of.
Exactly.
Yep.
And in that kind of space, but more business development.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, open something up like a model like that. For me, and why would I want to do that? I made some dumbass investments as a player,
okay,
you know, not knowing, right?
Right.
And when I say dumb, it was, you know, like, I made a movie, you know, and, you know, got
you
into
did?
Movies in LA.
I didn't know that.
Next Day Air, look it up.
Oh, okay.
Executive producer credit.
Oh, okay.
Right? You know, was like, had my injury, what do I want to do? Oh, let's make a movie. Like, let's jump into that. You know, met Mike Epps. He was on set, met some great people who I still have relationships with, but it's just like, you know, was it a good investment? Right? Was
right.
it a good return on my investment? No,
right.
You know, it was just something sexy to do. I didn't have education around it. You know, I just had a bunch of money at the time that I wanted to invest.
Right.
Athletes, there's a lot of easy money. There's a lot of access.
And a lot of people pulling at you.
And a lot of people pulling at you.
You know?
And at the same time, your job is to focus on what you're focused on,
right.
Sports.
Yep.
You know, you're not in the business world. Right, you don't have all of these different business chops, and a lot of experience. So you have to trust who's your team, who's the people you're putting around you. That's why the agents are incredibly important.
Right,
that's why they hold a lot of the, you know, they hold a lot of importance, because they're the ones that's putting together the teams for these athletes, and so it takes a lot of trust there. But trying to just educate guys more on what they're doing, and I think you're seeing it more with, you know, the player empowerment. You're seeing more brands, obviously LeBron, what he's doing in the media field, right? Mm-hmm. Starting his own media company, you know, Steph, you know, with his brand. So you see certain players that are being more business savvy in how they operate, like
right.
their own CEOs,
because mm-hmm.
you are at that point,
yeah,
right?
Of
you have
yep.
millions of followers, you have people following you, your visibility's there, so, you know, you already have built-in marketing, right?
Yep.
You know, as a brand yourself, how do you capitalize on that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because athletes are athletes, but they're human beings and they have other passions and interests as well, right, off the court. So
yeah, and you're seeing a lot more of that.
Exactly.
Like Kyrie, Russell Westbrook.
Exactly, Russ.
Like guys doing a lot of stuff.
That's
off
right.
the court.
That's right. So, that's right. Football,
which is good
baseball.
To see too.
Like, yeah.
And to your point, I mean, I've always felt that way. Like, you get people stereotype you so fast. Like, oh, he just plays basketball, yeah, or he, you know, he's just a personal trainer, like whatever. And so I think a lot of people can relate to that, where it's like, don't put me in a box.
Right.
Like, I can do more than one thing.
That's right.
And especially there's something about athletes, something about like when you're 6'7" or you're 225 pounds, people look at you and they just think that that's
automatic.
What God gave you. You
yep.
know? Oh,
yep.
you're tall. You're yep. big.
Absolutely.
Like, instead of like, nah, I mean, there's a mind here. I'm creative. I'm, you know, I want to do other things. And so for you to kind of acknowledge that and know that that's something you want to do is amazing. So
yeah, no doubt.
Look forward to seeing what you do. Maybe
absolutely.
I can drag you into some of the stuff I'm doing.
So. Absolutely. Hey, we'll talk. We got to talk.
You can practice
talk.
Your
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
game.
Get some reps.
Exactly.
Get some reps.
I'm going to give you some homework when we get done. Well, I don't want to take any much more of your time. You got the family, I'm sure, coming back soon.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
Thank you again. And you got to come to Miami. You got to see the new
Wynwood.
Spots.
Yep, so, yep, yep.
Definitely.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the pod. Episode yep. 25.
And it's the Big Dogs podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
And the yeah. one of the main reasons I did that is because back what we said, like I don't, obviously dog is, you know, the logo, but there's not any dogs anymore, you know, like, you know,
that's
like,
right.
And,
that's right.
I feel like we're a dying
right.
breed and want to keep it going and also help develop other people with the same mindset of just becoming better every single day. And that never stops.
Right.
And that if you're 5 years old, or if you're 70 years old, it's my mom's 70th birthday today. Shout out, Mom.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday.
And,
yeah.
And she's with her friends. She still works. She's a phenomenal creative florist. And seeing her passion and still showing up for herself and still, you know, at 70 and still thriving and healthy, like, it just goes to show you, like, it never stops. Like, it never stops.
So
like,
you're going to work, you know, till 80 then. That's
at least, you know? So, but it never stops. And even if you're not working in business, you'll always be working at self.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So no matter what.
No, that's the brand. That's yep. the no days off. That's kind of, you know, what I took away from it. You know, it was just like the consistency to keep pushing. You know, it's like you're not giving up on yourself. Right. And, you know, you got to keep pushing past, you know, everybody's like, what? No days off. Like, you got to have a day off. It's like, nah, you
yeah,
don't.
That's not what it's about.
It's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's not literal. It's like, you know,
yeah.
it's a mindset. So appreciate you having
yeah,
me on
man.
The pod, man. And took you long enough to call me, but I'm glad you showed up, big dog. Yes, sir.
All right, bro.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.